When you have a strong spirit, you can overcome anything. Everything the devil throws our way. The devil is not bigger than God. He is a created being. He is not the creator. He cannot create anything. He can invent, but he cannot create. He can only take what already exists and manipulate it for his purposes. The Word created everything. The bigger the problem, the stronger you are. As you put the Word in your eyes and ears and get it in your heart, it produces faith. Learn to apply the Word of God to your circumstances, and it works every time. Our spirit can become so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that we can actually repel diseases, stop care, resist sin, override doubt, dissolve offenses, and block pressure. We can build up our spiritual immune system to such a degree that sickness can't penetrate it, discouragement can't sway it, fear can't stop it, and bad news can't move it, and adversity can't affect it. How do we know where we are there? How do you know when you're there? We do this by what we say with our mouths. So when you listen to what you're saying on a day-to-day basis as you're just living out your life, and you start listening to what you say, you'll kind of be able to gauge exactly where you are in your growth and maturity in the things of the kingdom of God. You can gauge. You can find out, well, I'm in stage one. I'm trying to get to stage 10, but I'm in stage one by my mouth. According to my mouth, I'm not even off the track. My mouth tells me I ain't even got started yet. But as you start growing in the things of God, then your mouth will let you know, hey, did I just say that? You'll just start saying the right things automatically. You'll just know what to say, and you'll know what to pray automatically. You won't let the soul realm dominate you any longer. This is cool, actually. This is just so cool to live like this. Who would not want this kind of life? Our spirit can become so rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That's the goal. Getting your spirit, man, rooted and grounded in something called the Word of God. The Word of God is God. And the Word of God is eternal. And the Word of God will never fail. The Word of God is big. Bigger than any problem you'll ever have. The Word of God holds everything up. Hebrews says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. So if you get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and the great news is you can. This is available, and it's a shame we're not taking advantage of it. It's a shame. It's a shame that the body of Christ has let the devil run over, the body has been run over. We've allowed it. We have allowed the devil to deceive us, lie to us, trick us into saying the wrong things about ourselves and our families. We speak death and we don't speak life. We speak what he desires, not what God desires. God says, I've given you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents. How do you tread upon those devils? They're not physical. How do you tread upon them? You tread upon them with your tongue. You tread upon them with your prayer life. You tread upon those demons and those devils with your words. Your words can be so powerful in the things of God because the Word of God is powerful. You start believing the Word and put it in your heart and put it out of your mouth. Ooh, glory to God. You'll blow the devil out of the water every time. Every time. But the thing is, we have got to become so rooted and grounded in truth that we will not, we would be sickened if we said anything opposing it. If you're rooted and grounded in a truth, and just take one truth. Let's just take one truth. And believe me, there's lots of truth here. But let's just take one little truth. And if it's rooted and grounded deep in your spirit, if it's, you know, Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. The word of God is just like a seed. Does this kind of look like a seed? Doesn't that kind of look like a seed? You know, this is the way seeds look. If you dissected a seed, it's got an outer shell. And you've got the heart of that seed. That's where the DNA of that seed lives. That's where the life factor is in that seed. And you plant that seed in the ground, and that seed in the ground will, if that shell has to be broken into first, but when that, the nutrients, the sunlight, the water, all of that starts working on the outer part of that shell, and it gets in there, it's like a little time clock goes off. That seed can lay there on a table for years and never do a thing. But the minute it gets in the right environment, the minute it gets in the right soil, the right nutrients, the right things start working on the outer part of that cell, it gets a time clock ticking. And it, bam, life, a root, a sprout. Now you can dig it up. You can dig up the seed. And it'll die. But if you let it grow, guess what happens? It doesn't only have one little leg of a root. It starts sprouting out all kinds of little roots. That's what being rooted in the Word of God is all about. Is when you allow a truth to become so rooted in you that it's almost impossible. You can't pull it out. It becomes like a deep-rooted plant. My dad used to have us go out in the cornfield, and we used to spin out the corn, and it was easy to pull up. It was just so easy. But after the corn was harvested, and you then go out there and try to pull those stalks up to feed the cattle, you couldn't pull a corn stalk up. Anybody ever tried to pull a corn stalk out of the ground? Once it gets a root system, it's nearly impossible. You can tug and yank and tug and yank, and that root is so deep in that ground, and it sprouted out and kind of branches out. You can't get it out. And that's what God wants. Our human spirit is soil for the Word of God. Our human spirit is soil for the Word of God. I got to say it again. Your human spirit is soil for the Word of God. And if you'll take the Word of God and plant it in your heart, it'll become rooted in you. And it's not just going to be a root, it's going to be a plant. It's going to have a sprout. And then guess what happens to a seed? That truth will begin to bloom. It'll have a bloom. It'll have fruit-producing ability. It will begin to produce something called life. Now, what does corn seeds produce? Corn. What does potato seeds produce? Potatoes. What does pea seeds produce? Peas. Apple seeds produce apples, right? So you take a truth in this word and you plant that in your heart and don't expect to get a different fruit from what you've planted in your heart. You know, we'll plant a fruit concerning healing. If you have planted the Word of God in your heart, concerning healing, if that word is rooted and grounded in your spirit man, and I'm just going to speak on healing, just an example. If you know that you've got this seed that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed, and it's in this spirit part of you, it's in the spirit part of you. It's not in your soul, because that's not soil for the seed. The spirit word of God says, by his stripes, you were healed. Okay. You believe that in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. That's what the word says in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. What does faith do? How does faith act? It does this. It believes in the heart and confesses with the mouth. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, two things going on. If you can connect your tongue to your heart, if you can connect your mouth to your spirit, and you can speak that truth that you're rooted and grounded in. You've allowed it to germinate in there. You've allowed it to develop. You've allowed it to bear. You don't come along and pull it out there's no thinning going on. You want that seed strong in you. You want to be strong in healing. You can be strong in healing. You can be strong in finances. You can be strong in peace. You can be strong in joy. You can be strong in everything that has to do with the kingdom. You can be strong in any area, any promise that God has given you in his word. You can be so rooted and so grounded in it that it will produce of its own kind. Every seed always produces of its own kind. So when you needed a healing, well, if you need a healing, you just got to plant the seed of healing. And eventually, you're going to have a healing. And the wonderful thing is about once you get that revelation, it'll keep sickness and disease away from you. It'll repel it. You'll know how to. You can smell it before it comes. You can sense it before it's on its way. And you can say, no, you stop right there. I am not taking pneumonia. I'm not taking flu. I'm not taking, and I just won't take it. And it won't get so even near you. It'll stay, because that faith will repel it. See, the word of God is really that powerful if you really believe it. But see, the body of Christ has been lied to for hundreds of years, maybe thousands of years, and they've been told that God wants them sick because God needs to use some way to kill you. God has to have some way for you to die, you know. God has to have something to teach you something. You know, that's the lie. You just ain't going to find truth. That ain't no truth. Ain't no truth in that at all. But because the soul, a part of us, see the soul? It's very real. The soul part is connected very, very tightly to all three parts of you. All other two parts, I should say. Because you are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. And this body has a voice. The soul has a voice. But see, the inner man is the only part of you that can hear from God. The inner man is the only part that receives the word of God. The inner man is the only part the word can take root in. The inner man is the only part that can produce the truth. The inner man is the only part the river can flow out of. The inner man is the most important part of you and me. If we don't get rooted in the word, we're in trouble. Because you'll be swept away with problems. You'll be up and down, tossed to and fro. You'll be at somebody's door all the time, bawling and squalling about a problem. Because your spirit man will be weak and puny and won't have any strength at all. Won't have any voice. Won't have an answer. You need to be able to answer everything that comes at you. You need to be able to answer every problem with a word. It doesn't matter what the enemy brings to you. You should be able to speak a word back to it. And that word trumps it every single time. The word of God is more powerful than any problem the enemy could ever bring to you. The word of God has got to be the final authority in your life. And until you decide that, until you decide to make the word of God your final authority, you're going to have problems in this life. As long as you're trying to figure it out, just keep on trying to figure it out because God's already figured it out. God's already given you the victory. God's already trumped the devil. He's already given you complete 100% deliverance. But now it's up to you to get the word in your heart and allow that river to flow out of you. I'm telling you what, a river's big. A river's big. Out of your belly will flow. It will be so easy. You will, you see these fire hydrants? When they've got a fire going on, they hook up to a fire hydrant and there's some force behind that fire hydrant. There's some force behind that hose. And I'm going to tell you what, you put the fire hydrant of God's word in your spirit and you will blow the devil plumb out of the water. You'll blow him plumb out of the way. And you'll walk and praise God the whole time you're doing it. You won't consult your flesh. Oh, I feel bad. You won't listen to your flesh. The voice of your flesh becomes so weak and so dim when your spirit man is rooted and grounded in a bigger voice. This has got to be a bigger voice than your body. This has got to be a bigger voice than that doctor. This has got to be a bigger voice than anything you'll hear in this life. Now, I just used an example of healing. Because it seems like there's more Christians sick than I've ever imagined in my life. Is there any sick among you? Well, everybody'd raise their hand. Is anybody on a pill? Everybody's on a pill. Anybody need to get drunk before they go to bed to sleep? Everybody does. And this is in the body of Christ. That should not be. Because the question was, is there anybody in here sick? Shouldn't be. But is there any, anywhere? Shouldn't be anybody, and there no hands. I don't believe the early church had sickness in it like we do in today's churches. The challenge is stepping into truth. Here's where it's fun. Do you remember the first time you ever tried to dive off a diving board? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's easy. Just get out there and jump. Are you kidding me? I'm not what's so far away. And it's like, oh, you can do it. You can do it. And some people just can't do it. They just can't bring themselves to get out there on that diving board. Beautiful sunny day. I can remember the first time I ever dive off a diving board. It was in Portsmouth, Ohio. I had a big pool up there in town. And I was with a bunch of friends. You know, kids will push you. Okay. Okay. I don't even know if you're Christian or nothing, but because I didn't want to be looking stupid, you know. I didn't want to look too stupid. Because I don't know where the fortitude came from, but I decided I'm going to try it. And if I die, I'll just die. You know, I don't know if I thought that or not. But I remember going so far down into that water. I thought, I'm going to die. I'm not going to die. I'm not going to come out of this. I'm underwater, so, and I'm trying my best to get back to the surface. It's like, I'm going to die. I'm holding my breath, and I'm thinking, I am never doing that again. Never. Because I sunk like a rock. I dumped off that diving board. But you see, trusting God is very similar to jumping off that diving board. Because you have to make the decision, I'm going to try this. I'm going to at least do it. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to put myself out there. And I did it. I put myself out there on the Word. And I realized and I found out by doing that, when I didn't listen to the voice of my body, I didn't listen to all these other people talking to me, I listened to my spirit. And actually what happened was this. I spent time in this Word, putting that Word in me. I listened to CDs. Actually, back in those days, it was cassette tapes. I listened to cassette tapes. I listened to ministries. I turned off the television. I didn't watch any other TV except the Word of God. I kind of isolated myself and stayed on my face before God. And I began to seek God about His truth. And I wanted His truth in me. Now, did I understand all this? No. But I can tell you this. There was something rose up in me, and it was called the Word of God. See, I planted that seed in my spirit. Here's your spirit. This is soil. This is the dirt you put this Word in. You put the Word in the dirt, and you don't keep uprooting it. You cultivate it. You cultivate it. You nurture it. You wait on it. You know it's going to grow. You know it's going to develop. You know it is. You know it is. It absolutely will. If God can make a seed over a 2 to 3 week period start to sprout, I'll guarantee you He knows how to let the Word of God, once you put it in your heart and you cultivate it and protect it and nurture it and give it water, give it sunshine, give it love, give it protection. Don't speak any death out of your mouth. Don't speak any negative out of your mouth. Don't talk that you're going to die when you've got the Word believing for faith and healing. Don't be digging up your seed. And it's the same way for finances. If you're believing God for finances, don't be digging up your seed to see if it's growing or not. You take the Word of God and you get all the scriptures about finances. Get all the scriptures about finances and then start meditating on that. Start talking about it. Start thinking about it. Go to sleep with the Word about finances. Write it down. Look at it. Read it. It is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth and gain, that He can establish His covenant with you. You start speaking that. You mutter it through the day. You think about it. You get it before your eyes. Do like Joshua 1:8. Meditate therein day and night. Then you'll make your way successful. Then you'll find good success. Glory to God. The Word of God is the truth. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Keep it in your mouth. The Word also says that it's life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. Your flesh will be affected by what you put in your spirit every time. And whether it's good or bad. Whether it's good or bad. Whew, glory to God. And so the Word on finances can be a tree in you. It can start growing limbs and branches. And next, what happens when do you know the Word of God on finances has a DNA of its own? The DNA of the Word of God gets deeply rooted in your spirit. You won't worry about nothing anymore. And I'm telling you, I can quote you scripture after scripture after scripture that's rooted in my spirit that says, if any of you, let me just give you a few. Can I give you a few of my beautiful plant? Can I share a little bit of my beautiful plant that's in my spirit? I can open up my heart and I can say, God, this is what I have growing in me. You said that anyone that would come to you would no wise cast out. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory. See another branch? See another bloom? See another blossom? See another piece of fruit? I can walk up to that tree and I can pick a piece of fruit off of it anytime I need it. If any of you have a son who needs something to eat, or would he go to his father and ask him for a piece of bread? Would he give him a stone, or would he give him a serpent? Then if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give to them that ask of him? So there's another branch. There's another piece of the root of my spirit. You see, these things are not in my head. These things are in my human spirit. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water, and it brings life to all those around you, and it'll bring life to all your flesh. He says, his word is life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. Your flesh will be affected when you get the word of God in your spirit. That is where the word of God will produce 100% every time. Jesus said that some will receive 100-fold. Some will produce 30, 60, 100. It's the seed of the word of God in your heart that makes all the difference in the world, in your life, every day of it. Every single day, the word of God will produce if you'll let it. But if it doesn't come out of your mouth, you ain't producing it. It's got to come out of your mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth. You got to believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Whatever you believe in your heart, you better be speaking it out of your mouth. Because that's how it works. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks every time. You get squeezed, it'll come out word. That's when you know you're growing. That's when you know you're getting rooted and grounded. When problems come, you don't speak negative. You don't speak the devil's language. You speak God's language. His word has got to be in you, so rooted and grounded. Do you understand? This is not an optional thing. This is not optional. If you want to live a successful Christian life, this is not optional. That's your gauge. Your mouth is your gauge. How grown up are you in the things of God? How rooted and grounded are you in the word? Hallelujah. Anybody getting this? Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a part of the word that we neglect. See, out of your belly. See, you don't speak in tongues out of your head. You speak in tongues out of your spirit. Don't let that leave it on the table. Don't leave it on the table. There's gifts and provisions. There's gifts of the Spirit. Isn't it wonderful? He said, when he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. He knew we needed them for the perfecting of the saints. We all come to the unity of the faith. It's all about the power of God, bringing glory to God. Everything Jesus did, he did it for the glory of the Father. Everything was to glorify the Father. He said, you think I did the works? He said, it's the words. The words that I speak, that's him. I'm speaking his words. And if Jesus had to speak his words to get the blinded eyes healed, he had to speak the words of God. He only spoke what he heard. He didn't have a New Testament. His disciples wrote the New Testament. But they were with him 3.5 years and they saw the Father in action through Jesus. Now we get to see Jesus in action through us. Is this good? But if you don't get this word rooted and grounded in your heart, you're going to be miserable. Miserable. You'll wonder, well, why is that not working? It's supposed to be working. Well, most of the people I know are working it in their soul. They got it in their head, but they've never planted this word in their heart. And let me tell you, the only way I've ever been able to get the word of God in my heart, and you study the sower soweth the word. You study that. You study that parable. Jesus said, the sower soweth the word. And he said, some of those words were thrown. And I don't think it's just the whole Bible's lumped on you. I'm telling you, God wants to give you a truth. And it's what you do with that truth that whether or not determines if it gets in your spirit and really gets rooted there and grounded there to where the devil can't come along and take it out. Because the first thing he's going to do, because he's watching you and me, he knows you're hearing a word today. And immediately he says, he's standing right there immediately with his claws and his snatchers to snatch it out of your heart, to snatch it away from you. Now you've got to fight that off. You've got to say, no, I believe that.
Because it's the word of God. And you got to repel those birds, those wicked things that are trying to deceive you. And he uses all kinds of things to do it. If he can't come along and tell you, though, that's a big fat lie. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. All day long I used to hear, that doesn't work. That's not true. That's not true. That's not work. That's a cult. That's a cult. Stay away from them people. They're of the devil. I mean, all the time it's like, get out of here. I'm not believing you. Get out of here. Shoo him away. You see, you can't keep a bird from flying through your head, but you don't have to let it make a nest in your head. And it begins with what you believe and hear. You got to first hear the word. You have to hear the word. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing and hearing, faith coming. See, the more you hear the truth, and I turn off these preachers that say, God wants you sick to teach you something. I turn them off. Now, they might have some other good stuff, but I turn that, when I, as soon as I hear that, out the door. I bought a book by a woman minister. I just think she's dynamic. She's wonderful. But I got a hold of her book and I got to reading it. And I go, she made that statement. Do you know what happened to that book? In the dumpster. I wouldn't give it to anybody. I paid $15 for that book. I would not give it to a soul because she thinks God wants you sick. That is not true. Now I'm telling you, if you waver and waffle on that, you won't ever walk in divine health. You'll never walk in healing. You'll never see the blinded eyes. I'm telling you, it's all rooted in his word. God wants people healed 100%. He wants you whole 100%. Glory to God. You got to get rooted in it. I'm talking rooted. Let it take root in you. Because Jesus said this. Y'all that know the word. Most in here, everybody reads the word. They all know that. Y'all know the word. You're word people. The word says that Jesus said, let me tell you who a wise person is. Here's somebody wise. Somebody that gets up in the morning and gets on their knees and decides they're going to seek me. That's a wise person. Because guess what? He's God. That's not a no-brainer. That's just God. You're seeking God. Because his word said, here's the root. His word says, seek you me and you shall live. I got that one in there with a lot of root. A lot of root in there. A lot of fruit going out of that word. That DNA of that word is in me. Seek you, me, and you shall live. Here's another one that gets me on my knees. Here's another one. He said, and you shall find me when you shall have searched for me with all of your heart. Bam! In my face. How can I ignore that? He said, seek and you shall find. Ask and you shall receive. For everyone that asketh, or knock and you shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's rooted in me. I've experienced that. It's a truth. So, prayer life is huge to me. My prayer life is huge because I got lots of needs. I got lots of people that I'm taking care of. I got lots of people I'm responsible for. I'm responsible for you all. I need to know how to pray right for you. I don't need to be praying sickness and disease on you. Lord, help them through that time of suffering. You know, just give them grace to get through till they die. I'm sure a lot of preachers pray like that for their staff and their people. Isn't that sad? Because they don't believe God may want to really heal them. Because they don't know the will of God concerning healing. Well, I hope you want to heal them, God. Maybe you'll give them another chance. No, when I pray for somebody who's sick, you know what? I know in my heart his will is for them to be healed. I don't question God. Do you want that one healed, God? Are you picking and choosing who you want to heal today? I don't have to think like that. I don't think like that because that's not what the word teaches me. Do you all see what I'm talking about? How can that affect your faith? Big time. Big time. If you don't know the will of God, you're not going to pray right. And if you're praying, here's your mouth giving you away again. If you say, Lord, do this and this and this, if it be your will. There's very little times I ever end a prayer with, if it be your will, because I know the will. It's his testament. It's his will and testament. It's our lazy fault if we don't find out what his will is because he gave it to us in his word. It's here. Here it is. Find out the will. I would be a pretty dumb person to have an inheritance and never read the will. Find out what belongs to me. Find out what belongs to me. I know I've been in the word. I've been in the word. I found out what belonged to me. Now, this is the other thing. God has already provided for you. What's he saying in Psalms 23? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemy. Mm-hmm. Do you know the devil is your enemy, right? He come to kill, steal, and destroy you. That's his only mission. He thinks about that 24/7. How am I going to kill? How am I going to steal? And how am I going to destroy from her? That's all he cares about, is how to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not thinking about being nice to you in any way, shape, or form. He's a real big, bad devil. And he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's watching all the time, looking. And he's thinking, I mean, he's got a monitor on you. He's got a monitor on your life. I'm telling you, there's a lot of devils in this world. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy from you. And he knows when you get a revelation word that he knows is going to take root in you, he better get it uprooted and get it uprooted quick, because if it gets rooted in you, then you're a big problem for him to deal with. You're a big problem. And then you're going to start affecting other people. And you're going to cause even more problems. Because you got truth. You got something called truth in you. The truth will make you free. It's the truth that you know that you act upon that makes you free. Now, how do you? He said, you will tread. I'll give you power over all the enemy. And you can walk or tread upon serpents and scorpions. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. That sounds good on paper, doesn't it? But when you're in a battle and you've got scorpions and serpents all around you attacking you, you better know that's a truth from your heart. And how do you deal with the devil? How do you walk upon scorpions and serpents? I said it a minute ago. With your mouth. With your mouth. The same way Jesus did. The devil himself tempted Jesus. And what did Jesus always speak? Out of his heart, he said, it is written. If you feel any fear whatsoever, you need to get fear out of your life. Period. Because fear is totally of that dark realm. You've been translated out of that kingdom. The word of God rooted in your heart doesn't give you any place to the devil. It doesn't give you any place. If you're rooted and grounded in the word, there is no place for fear in the word. Perfect love casteth out all fear. If you have fear, that just means you're not rooted and grounded in the word, which is love. God is love. His word, he said, in the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, and God is love. And so if you're rooted and grounded in love, and you're rooted and grounded in word, it's equal, it's the same. And so there is no fear in perfect love. That perfected love that's rooted in you deeply, producing fruit. And like I said, there are many different aspects to fruit, many different branches to the word. I mean, just take peace, for example. Peace of God will keep your heart and your mind, the word says. There's a root. Are you rooted in that? Do you know you can run to God and you can just access peace? If you operate in the things of the kingdom the way God said to, then you can walk upon scorpions and serpents and, yeah, they're there. Yes, the devil's real. Yes, I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. That's rooted in me. I am, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You got to walk in that. You can't look at the enemy. You can't look at his mouth. It's, you know, when David faced Goliath, do you think he looked at that giant size? Do you think he looked at how big and tall he was? He wasn't looking at that. He was looking at the word of God. He was looking at how big God was. And see, that's what being rooted and grounded in the word does. It establishes truth in your spirit. And I tell you what, you ever get truth in your spirit? The spirit of man will sustain him. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? See how important your spirit is? How important is it to get rooted and grounded in the word of God in your spirit, man? Look at Proverbs in the Amplified. Here's the Amplified version of that very same verse. It says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. Do you get that? A strong spirit will sustain you. Can the devil do anything with the word? No. If you're established in the word, he can't do anything with you either. Jesus said, I will liken to a wise man who takes heed to my word as a man who built his house on a rock, on a solid rock. The winds came, the winds will come, the winds will blow. Believe me, if you're going to live in this world, you just strap it up. to suck it up and say, this is what it's going to be. I used to run and do everything I could to protect my, insulate myself. You know, only way to insulate yourself is to be a billionaire, buy an island, and turn off all the phones and not let anybody bother you. Then you might have a little more peace than the rest of us. But that's not life. That's living in isolation. Because as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. Because the devil's here and he works through people. And he works through storms and weather and all kinds of situations. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Okay. The strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? I totally believe with all my heart and have for years, that God was raising up a people that knew who they really were, who knew the joyful sound, who knew how to speak to their situations, who knew how to do what Jesus did, who knew how to say to that mountain, be thou removed, who could speak to a fig tree, no man shall eat fruit of you hereafter, and it's done. I mean, no worries, no thinking about it. Well, I wonder if that works. Just you're established in truth to the point you know. It's just as if Jesus spoke it. Speak to your mountain. Decree a thing and it shall be established, the word says. You'll know how to decree. This is the key, is walking in the things of God the way he wants you to. And that's why he gives the body of Christ prophets, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. The fivefold ministry gifts are for us, to teach us. And you know the thing about it, you could have all those gifts, have all these wonderful gifts, all these wonderful ministries available, and it's sitting on the table, and God will say, why didn't you take advantage? Why didn't you get my word in? Why didn't you sow that word in your heart? Why didn't you meditate on that word day and night? Why didn't you keep it before your eyes? Why didn't you get that word rooted in you? Why didn't you go to church that Sunday? Why didn't you seek my face? Why didn't you do the things you knew to do to get this word deep in you? And you'll say, well, you know, I was busy. I was just too busy. What an excuse. When you're setting aside what Jesus paid for, Miss Wigglesworth never went 15 minutes without the word of God in his mind, in his mouth. And he read the word of God every 15 minutes. Never went any longer than 15 minutes before he read. He carried around a pocket Bible. How serious was he about raising the dead? He raised 26 people from the dead. He was rooted and grounded in truth from his spirit. Your spirit, man, a strong spirit of a man will sustain him. And I'm telling you, the word of God is a seed. And Jesus said that the sower sows the word. I'm sowing word today. And the word of God, some, he says, will fall on the wayside. It won't have any root, no place to take root. Your spirit man has got to be good ground for this word. And it is good ground for this word. When you get born again, here's the ground. You first got to get born again or the word can't even get in you. So when you get born again, the word gets in you. The word gets in you. Get the word. You know, you got born again. The day you got born again, you became open. Your spirit man became open soil for the kingdom's word. The word, the king's word, okay? Because the king, the Holy Spirit came and lived, became, he's the work that worked in your spirit. So here's your spirit. Here's your soil. Here's your spirit man. And I'm going to just go back to, here's 101, basic. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when he said you cannot enter into the kingdom of God, he really is saying the kingdom can't enter into you. Because whatever part of the kingdom is living in you is the part of the kingdom you enter into. You've got to have it in you first before you can enter in and experience it. It's like when you have the word of healing in your spirit, then you have a key to the kingdom. Jesus told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And he said, and I say to you, you're Peter. But this rock revelation of who I am is the beginning of everything. It's the beginning of Jesus is the key to the kingdom. He said, I'm the door of the sheep. Anything you need is through Jesus. Anything. Anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it you. But that seed, the seed of the Word of God, has got to be in your heart. It can't just be in your mind. It can't just be a hope-so thing. You've got to believe it in your heart. See, your heart doesn't have, this is not where you hope. Your spirit is not where you hope. You hope in your soul. Your soul realm is a big part of who you are. If you've been broken in your soul will deceive you. The soul can deceive you. The thinking it's your spirit, it's not your spirit. It's a completely different entity. And your soul, a lot of Christians live out of their soul in hope. Hope is always future. Faith is always present. The word is a present force in your life when it's rooted in your heart. And it's deeply rooted there. And you can have miracles. You can't live from miracles. Most people want to live from miracle to miracle. Most people do not ever get rooted in what truth says about them. They just are waiting for the next miracle. They're just waiting for God to show up again because he showed up. Yeah, he parted the Red Sea, but now I need to part the Red Sea again. Well, what if he doesn't part the Red Sea? Let me tell you, the word always works. Most people do not know how to walk and work the word. You've got to work the word. And you've got the word. God, I'll tell you, get God's attention when you start praying the word in your heart. You get angels showing up. The angels desire to look into those things. And just begging for a miracle or begging for a healing and begging for God to come down and show up gloriously is not the way to live your Christian life out. That's miserable. Because you're in fear most of the time. Because hope is all. Hope, like the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You're always heart sick. Well, when's God going to show up? When's he going to give me this miracle? When is he going to heal me? When he's already healed you because he healed you 2,000 years ago. I heard, what minister was it I heard say that we're time travelers. We really are time travelers. I've always said it. I've always believed it. That when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you went back in time 2,000 years ago in your heart, your spirit. See, your spirit man is the eternal part of you. That's the part of you that's in eternity. Do you know your spirit is eternal being? That's the eternal part of you. Do you know spirit beings are not controlled by time? We talked about this. Spirits are not in confinement of time. Your body is in time. We live in time in this capsule of a body. But your spirit man is not bound by time. You can be a time traveler in your spirit. In fact, I believe we really are time travelers, because how can you be in heavenly places at the same time and still be in Kentucky? In Midway. See, your spirit man was 2,000 years ago in time, believed that God raised you. You were there. You were there when it happened, because that's when you died. You died when he was raised from the dead, and you believed that in your heart, and your spirit man was there to see it. Because you saw it and believed it, like you were just right there seeing it. It happened. But you were there in your spirit when it happened. Now, I don't know how that all works. Do I understand that? Do I understand how electricity works? Do I understand radiation? Do I understand? I don't understand a lot of things, but a lot of things I just know true. See, that's the thing about the Word of God. You just got to know things are true. And so how can you be seated with him in heavenly places? You know, we live in a time, but we also live in eternity in your spirit. I'm telling you, we live in eternity because God is an eternal God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that wonderful? And so is healing something way off for you? Then it shouldn't be, because he provided it 2,000 years ago. Just like you got born again 2,000 years ago. And he provided salvation. He provided healing. So you've got to go back in time and say thank you. And walk in that. But you've got to get rooted in it. You've got to get rooted in the truth. If the devil would, he would try to make you believe you're not even saved. If he could talk you into believing that God doesn't love you, he will. If you will lend an ear and start thinking that really you failed, you've come too short, God doesn't care, you're too messed up, you'll never amount to anything, then you can believe that, but that's his job to do that to you and me. But we have to resist him. What are we resisting with? Resisting with the word. Because the word says we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why do you think the Holy Spirit led you to go tell somebody you're saved? Because it established the truth in your heart with your mouth. And so if you will continue to speak that you're saved, continue to speak that I'm born again, that I got saved, it establishes that word in your heart. See, because the word of God says you believe it in your heart, you confess it with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto whatever you need to be believing for. That's how it works. You have to speak the same. Every truth has to be like this. It doesn't matter what it is. And I tell you, persecution will come because of the word. Persecution doesn't come because you look good or you look bad or you got more money than somebody else. Persecution comes because of the word you carry. It's the word of God that the devil is after in your heart. He don't want you getting this word in your heart. He doesn't want me preaching this word and putting it in your heart. Because your spirit is hearing things today it may have never heard before. But your head is kind of boggling around with it. It's kind of bouncing around in your head. But your spirit man is grasping it. Because you can receive things in your heart that your head can't get. And I'm telling you, get rooted in this word. And believe it in your heart. Forget your soul. Forget your old selfish, emotional man. Forget your old poor me, victim mentality. Stop being a victim. You're a victor in Jesus. Stop letting things that have happened in your past rule your life today. Don't get stuck in the past. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things are way behind. If I've got any reason to be a victim, you're looking at one. I was a victim from day one out of the womb. But I'm telling you, God changed my DNA to Him. I'm establishing some truth, and I know how deadly looking at your past is. I know how deadly it is. It is a killer. It'll keep you from ever growing up spiritually. It'll keep you dwarfed. You'll just be a little shrimpy kid all your life. You'll never have any power. You'll never walk in authority. And I just would, I tell you what, there's so much I'd love to share. But look at some of these scriptures before I close because I didn't even get to look at any of these. John 7:33, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Here's the scripture I heard out of my spirit this morning. And I saw this picture and I saw this flowing river coming out of the spirit, this illustration. So in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried saying, if any man's thirst, let that man come unto me and drink. How many times did Jesus say, come to me? You're thirsty. So what are you doing? You're coming to Jesus, right? And you say, I need a drink, Jesus. Please give me a drink. Well, you know he's going to give you. And he says, come to me and get a drink. Take a drink. Just take a drink. He didn't tell you to swallow the whole Bible. Just take a drink. Start out with a drink. Just a drink. And buddy, he said that drink would turn into a river. Take a drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. What he told Philip, he said, have you seen the Father? You've seen me? You've seen me? You've seen the Father? Have I been so long with you, you've not seen the Father? He said, now the hour has come, Father. I'm going to glorify you. Be thou glorified. So he was glorified. He glorified the Father through his death, burial, resurrection. And the Father glorified Jesus because he brought him out of hell and put him in heaven. And they gave him a name above every name. And now that he's glorified, he sent back the Holy Ghost to you and I. We're believers. Oh my goodness, we're believers. We're in such a place of awesomeness. We have the power that raised Jesus from the dead living in us. And the enemy is so smart that he knows how to keep your soul realm the most active part of your being. That river has got to start flowing out of us. If it just starts to trickle, start a trickle. I started with a trickle. 15:45, so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 3:31, he that cometh from above, oh this is good, he that cometh from above is above all. Is he living in you? Then he's above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony, Here's the truth. Whoever has received this as truth, it says, you've set to your seal, your spirit is your seal. You seal this with your spirit. You don't consult your emotions anymore. You don't consult your mind, your mind, your will, your emotions, what other people think, what other people say. A heart seal on it. You put a heart seal on it and you're preserving it. You're protecting it. You say, this is going to take some root now. I believe it and I got to develop it. It's not going to develop overnight. It takes time to develop the word. It takes time, just like it takes time for a bean to become a full-blown bean plant and start producing fruit. But I'll guarantee you, if you'll keep at it, you keep with it, it will happen. And then being a Christian won't be so hard. You'll enjoy freedom. You'll enjoy the freedom of walking in the things of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. In fact, there's a scripture I just gave. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. On the second page in Galatians, you know, your flesh is always going to be your flesh and your soul is always going to be your soul, but your spirit man will dominate both of them. Galatians 5:16. Look what he says here. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Spirit man is stronger than your soul man. You got a soul man, you got a spirit man, and you got a body man. And you got to learn how to dominate with your spirit. The Word of God will educate. You're getting educated, aren't you? Isn't it wonderful? We're all growing and we're all walking in the things of the kingdom. Father, I seal this word right now. I seal this word as truth. And I thank you for this word. Father, let it not depart from our eyes. Let it always be there meditating. Walk above anger. Walk above emotions. Walk above sickness and disease, poverty, deliverance, healing, peace, joy. All the things, Father, that you promised in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.